Let me first thank the organizers to allow me to present some results at this conference. I must say this conference is extremely exciting. Attosecond physics is a new field which is really most interesting. And my connection to attosecond is rather tenuous. I will explain where it is. What I would like to say first is that the experimental expertise which is required to produce attosecond pulses is extremely difficult. And there are consequently very few laboratories which are presently able to master this expertise. And it is very important to try to find ways to simplify the experimental procedure. And now comes my connection to attosecond physics. I would like to try to show you that by filamentation it is possible to obtain reliable optical pulses which are very short in duration, a few cycles. And what is interesting about it is that the experimental procedure to obtain these short pulses is very simple. So let me start first by acknowledging my collaborators in this work, and I would like to stress particularly the name of Arnaud Couéron, who developed the code we use extensively to analyze our results. I'd like also to acknowledge present collaboration we have with the group of Ursula Keller in Zurich, and I will show some of results which were obtained in this group. And finally, I would also acknowledge the project TerraMobile, where I will briefly show some results obtained with TerraMobile. TerraMobile is a laser system which consists of a terawatt laser, femtosecond terawatt laser, which is in a container and therefore can be placed in different sites. And it has been funded by CNRS and DFG, Deutsche Forschungsgemeinschaft. And it consists of four teams in Berlin, Jena, Lyon, and our team. Okay, the field of femtosecond filamentation really started about 10 years ago in Michigan when in the group of Gérard Mourou, Alan Brown wanted to make a long delay line for a femtosecond pulse. And it turned out that the mirror they use to make this delay line were able to withstand the power of the ultra-short laser pulse when it was put close to the exit of the laser. However, when they made the delay line with 10 meters, they found that they had damages, small damages, sub-millimeter damages spot on the mirrors. And furthermore, if they moved further down the mirrors, they had, for over several meters, appearance of these damages. And they correctly interpreted this as the formation of filaments, so-called filaments, where the combination of the optical Kerr effect leads to self-focusing of the laser beam upon itself, increasing thereby the local intensity to the point where air is ionized, and the ionization leads to a defocusing of the beam, and they interpreted this as a balance between these two mechanisms, which leads to these long persisting pulse propagate beams with a very narrow spatial diameter. Now, we repeated this experiment a few months later, and this is the version. I would like to apologize that to some of the people in this audience maybe have seen much of what I'm showing. This is the version we used, 20 millijoules pulses, 100 femtosecond, propagating down a hole. And if we look at the spatial profile of the beam about 50 meters away, what we see is a narrow white center cone surrounded by laser energy. And the dimension of this central white cone is about 100 microns in diameter. There is a lot of work which has been done by many groups characterizing this inner core of the filament. We know now the intensity. It is about 5 times 10 to the 13 watt per square centimeters. It produces initial electron density of about 10 to 16 electron per cubic centimeter. We know the time evolution of these electrons with time, and you can see that already from this picture there is a considerable spectral broadening of the propagating pulse. Now, it turns out this filamentation process is a very robust process. It occurs in many different systems. For instance, here is by using the harmonic of the output of the Thai sapphire, we obtained a similar phenomenon. We have just heard that beautiful results about filamentation using a 2-micron laser wavelengths. It has also been performed using UV pulses at 230 nanometer. And they give rise to very interesting properties. And one, for instance, is shown here. This corresponds to an image taken in Tautenburg with an observatory where the image of the backscattered white light produced by the filament when we shoot the laser upwards here vertically in the sky, and the laser in this case had an energy per pulse of about 200 millijoules with a pulse duration of about 100 femtoseconds. And you can see that this white continuum pulse propagates through two thin cloud layers which are at 5 and 9 kilometers in altitude, and they even go beyond that. So it's a filamentation proceed over a very long distance. But you can also observe filamentation in a very compact system, like for instance here in a piece of fused silica, 2 centimeters thick. Here the input beam was converging on the input surface, and you can see that the part of the beam propagates as if it was diffractionless. This system is very interesting because it's a very compact system where we can test many of the ideas or the effects about filamentation in a very simple system. To study it in air also is more difficult because it requires long distances. Of course, there is a scaling here. Energies and distances are reduced by about a factor 1,000. Now, the basic phenomena for the most important nonlinear effect is, of course, we have already mentioned, optical Kerr effect, which leads to the self-lensing effect. And this occurs provided that the input laser power exceeds a critical value, and the value for, in the case of 800 nanometer pulse wavelengths in air, is about 5 gigawatts. It is in competition with the defocusing mechanism due to ionization. And this acts as a diverging lens because it starts at the peak of the beam profile in the center, and the defocusing effect is similar to a defocusing lens. Now, the description of this, to have a quantitative description of this phenomenon, we have to include other effects, such as self-steepening, avalanche ionization, group velocity dispersion, retarded, and both instantaneous and retarded Kerr effect. And this can be solved numerically by using the nonlinear Schrödinger equation, which was developed by Brabeck and Krauts, together with the equation which described the evolution of the electron density. Here is a typical result for a pulse whose input power is close to the critical power for filamentation. You can see a first regime over in air of about 6 meters where the beam self-contracts and then this becomes precipitous, and then there is the sudden rise of the electron density which is produced by ionization, and this leads to a stabilization of the beam diameter, and later on you have recurrent ionization spikes every time the beam wants to collapse upon itself. Here I show an example of a comparison between experimental data and a numerical simulation, showing that we have a good agreement. This was the case for a UV filamentation. Here I show an experiment which was performed in order to determine what is the peak intensity in this filament core. The idea is simply to produce the filament in air and let this enter a chamber with argon gas, and then the energy of the XUV to produce higher order harmonics in this cell. The emerging XUV photons are going into a ionizing xenon in a different cell, and it is measured by a time of flight detector, and from the value of the highest harmonic we can obtain a value of the laser intensity in the filament, and this again is in good agreement with what is expected from the simulation. Here I show you the extent of spectral broadening which is obtained. It covers basically all the visible, and it extends in the infrared up to 3 or 4 microns. There are several very active features with filamentation, one of which is shown in this slide, but there is a special mode self-cleaning effect, and this is illustrated here on recent experiments which were performed with a beam at 400 nanometers, and if one examines the spatial profile of the beam at about 20 meters at a long distance and compare it with the filament itself, you see there is an improvement of the beam quality for the filament. And this is an interesting effect. There is another interesting characteristic of the filament is the beam stability. The intensity is much more stable. It becomes stable. And this has been shown recently in experiments by the group of Shin in the University of Laval. What they've done is to do 4-wave mixing experiments using a filament as the pump source. And when they measured the noise in the signal wave, they compare that for two situations. One situation where the pump beam was a filament, or in the case where the pump beam was pump beam intensity was reduced so that they had no filament. And what they could show is that below threshold for filamentation, the noise in the signal was the sum of the noise of the pump beam and the idler. Whereas in the case of the filament, the noise in the signal wave was just about the noise of the idler, which means that the intensity of the filament was very stable. And this is due to the defocusing effect, the intensity clamping effect due to the intensity, the laser intensity defocusing, the plasma defocusing. Another interesting property is the pulse self-compression. Here is a numerical simulation for two distances performed by Queron, and you can see there is a pulse splitting, pulse narrowing, and also an advance of the pulse. Now, first experiments of pulse self-compression were done in this way. Two filaments were produced in air, and they were made to coincide in a thin few silica platelets, and there is a four-wave mixing signal which emerged in a phase match direction. And by delaying one of the filament with respect to the other, one can measure in this way something which looks like the autocorrelation trace or the cross-correlation trace between these two filaments. And you can see that starting with a 100 femtosecond laser pulse, you had a significant self-compression of the pulse. Same effect occurs for UV filamentation. This is the input pulse, and you can see that after 11 meters of compression filamentation, there is also a significant pulse self-compression. Now, where things become interesting is that according to the simulation, the code of Brabeck and Krauss is able to, although it described the evolution of the envelope of the field, it is able to proceed up to nearly a single cycle limit because of the additional additional terms in the equation. And the results suggest that one should obtain nearly single cycle pulse in argon. And here is the result of simulation. You can see the filament which is produced, and you can see this intensity clamping I was mentioning before, and the ionization of electrons inside this filament. And when we look at the temporal structure of the pulse as it propagates at different distances, first we see a complex situation, but after some distance we see that a single very short pulse, isolated pulse, is emerging from this. It was 30 femtoseconds. And indeed, experiments have been done in Zurich, where they used two successive cells to obtain filamentation. And between the cells, they used compressing mirrors and refocused in the second cell. And the same here, these chop mirrors were used to compensate for the group velocity dispersion introduced by the glass windows. And the results are shown here. The measured pulse duration was 5.7 femtoseconds, and here is the spectrum obtained with this. Recently, the same group has shown even shorter pulse duration, 5.1 femtoseconds. But most of the difficulty comes now from the compression grating, which it is more and more difficult to obtain efficient gratings covering the whole spectrum which is necessary to cover. And to show the difficulty here, we compare the spectrum obtained after the compression mirror and the chop mirror and before the chop mirror. And you can see that there is a strong deformation due to the poor quality or the insufficient quality of the chop mirrors. And taking just from the spectrum, the Fourier transform of the spectrum at the exit of the second cell, one expects in this case a pulse as short as 1.75 femtoseconds. But also I should mention that interesting characteristics of this short pulse obtained by filamentation is that the CU phase is maintained through the filamentation process. I find this quite amazing in view of the complexity of this. After two, the high nonlinear processes going on, that this is still maintained. And the next transparency shows that indeed this is the case. Before locking the phase, this is what the interferometer shows, and here you can see clearly the stability of the phase which is obtained there. Now, one drawback of this self-compression in a uniform gas pressure cell is the fact that it is difficult to extract the pulse for an experiment. You have to go through dispersive media. And also, it is difficult to locate the specific distance at which where this pulse becomes very short. You can see here the duration of the pulse as a function of the propagation distance. And there are a few specific distances where it is interesting. So one would ideally need a better system where the pulse duration as filamentation goes on would simply decrease monotonously, and then one would propagate in vacuum with the short pulse obtained. And recently, Cueron and Franco have done simulation in a following system in a pressure gradient, asymmetric pressure gradient, where you have a steep rising pressure and a slowly decreasing pressure gradient with a length sufficient to obtain filamentation. And this shows the following results. This is the input pulse, and here the pulse hits the front edge. You can see a strong dispersion of the pulse, but eventually when it emerges out you have a very short pulse. And for the best parameters you obtained a nearly single cycle pulse with a satisfactory ratio to background. So now the challenge is to construct such a system and to demonstrate the effect. It is in progress in Zurich, and we hope soon there will be some results showing the validity of this concept. I would like finally to come to a point concerning the upscaling energy in the filament. The energy in the short pulses is of a fraction of the input energy. There is a controversy here. Most people, self-shortening has been done, and many people claim that almost half of the energy is in the short pulse. This is not shown, however, in the simulation. We think it is lower. It's more likely a few percent, or maybe up to 10%. This point has to be clarified. It's very important. But also there is, if we increase the input energy in the beam, and then what is observed is a multifilamentation. Instead of having a stronger filament, what one observes is the burst of many filaments. And this seems unavoidable. So it looks like it's not a good system for upgrading the energy. However, it has been shown that it is possible to organize the filaments. And this can be done either by amplitude masks or spatial by treatment of the phase. And here I show you two results where one uses this kind of mask, a three-foil mask, which one puts in the input beam before filamentation. And in this case, one obtains three filaments, which, or you can, in other cases, we have obtained like five filaments on a ring. Or if one uses phase mask, phase treatment, one can obtain two or more filaments, which can be rotated as one wishes. And now, if one look in the case of multifilaments like that, according to the numeric simulations, one would expect upon further propagation a coalescence of these filaments into a single filament. So this could possibly give a venue to increase the energy per pulse in a very short pulse. This also has to be tested experimentally. So I will stop here and thank you for your attention.
I found this a very interesting talk. I had a question about the experimental detection that you showed of the power that a filamented beam has acquired in what I believe was atmospheric pressure air. You showed that you then go into a 40 atmosphere argon cell and look at higher harmonics generation, is that correct? And so the question is, wouldn't the filamentation go on in the argon cell and give a flawed result? Because you have 40 times more pressure in there
It's a typo error. It's a 14 millibar in the argon cell when we measure the... you mean to measure the pulse duration?
Well, I believe you were looking at higher harmonics. It's near the beginning somewhere. There was an argon.
This one.
Yeah. Oh, 40 millibar.
Yeah.
But then the beam would immediately start to diffract. So you also get a.
Yes. But the point here is not to make the filamentation in the cell. The filamentation was done before, and what we wanted to do is to measure the intensity of the filament.
I understand that, but now the moment the beam enters the cell.
Yes.
The plasma is gone, and so it will simply start to diffract.
Yes.
So wouldn't you then measure a lower intensity than you would have right before the cell?
No, because over the distance you will not find a strong effect.
I understand. Okay, thank you.
So going to your last slide and the recombination of filaments, while the carrier envelope phase is maintained in a filament, is it likely that multiple filaments would have any phase relation to each other?
Yes. And this you can see by looking at the conical emission which surround the filaments. And when you have two filaments, you can see the interference pattern of the conical emission which overlaps.
So the in that case the filaments are coupled throughout the propagation, and it's that coupling that maintains the phase of the filaments?
Exactly.
Awesome.
The tensor structure stability due to some kind of compensation, ionization and care effect is well understood. What about pulse shortening in time domain? Can you give some simple intuitive idea what is due to?
It is a bit difficult to give a simple explanation, and you can also see from the simulation that it's a rather complex system. Maybe what I can say in the case of a pressure gradient, what simplifies the picture is first that you don't have the any moving focus because you fix the start of the filament. This simplifies because when you have a moving focus, then you have a pulse splitting, and it's complicated. It's a complicated process. In this case, you don't have that, and because you have self-focusing, you have a sharpening of the leading edge, and the plasma defocusing, and also self-steepening. Leads to a very sharp increase of the back edge of the sample. And the combination of the effect, I cannot give you a simple answer.
I have a more basic question. How well can you control filamentation, and in particular the number of filaments, by simply varying the pressure of the gas? Can you adjust the pressure to have exactly one filament for some set intensity?
We have conducted experiments of filamentation as a function of pressure between 1.2 or 1.3 atmosphere and 0.2 atmosphere, and basically we don't see a large difference. It would be interesting to study filamentation at much lower pressures. This we have not done, but within this range, we didn't find any big difference. It is as expected. Yes.
If you look at the spectrum from the filament obtained by the Keller's group, you will see the short wavelengths seems to be extend much further than long wavelengths. Is that because self-spin steepening or ionization, or why is asymmetric the spectrum broadening?
I think it has to do with ionization, and self-steepening. It probably translates the fact that the I don't know. I cannot give you a good answer.
Additional questions? Great, let's thank Andre and all the speakers again.